Thank you so much for joining us today at our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in five different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
I want to do something a little different at the beginning today. You know, the Bible says that this house, Jesus said about his house, it will be called a house of prayer. And we've got some things to pray for. We've gone through a lot this year. I don't know about you. Every time I keep looking at Heidi, go, this is crazy. 2020 has just been crazy. And you know, people say 2020, the year of vision, 2020 vision. How many of you know this has not been a year of 2020 vision? It's been a year of 2020 crazy, just crazy. And it's just been that way. And we've got an election that's coming up. I've preached about it, talked about it, and it's coming time to vote. How many of you already voted? Anybody here already voted? I've already voted. And you need to vote. If you don't vote, you can't complain. So you need to vote. And we need to pray. Our nation needs a revival. Let me say that again. Our nation needs a revival. We're seeing, can it get any crazier? Look at me right here. It's going to get crazier. We're going to get back to normal. We ain't getting back to normal. There's going to be a new normal. And if we'll walk through this right, it'll be a better normal. It'll be better than what it was. It may get darker out there, but it'll get lighter in here. And so we're going to pray. We're praying for a revival. In fact, let me take you to this scripture. Let me just remind you, 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. And I'm going to put it on the board for you. Don't forget, you help me read the yellow. It says, then if my people, who is my, this is God speaking. Who is his people? We are. He says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and I want you to just read that. If my people would humble, pray, seek, and turn from their wicked ways. And you may be thinking God goes, no, the culture needs to turn from its wicked ways. God doesn't start with the culture first. He always starts with his people first. That we have a responsibility to turn from ours. And he says, if my people will do that, if they'll humble, pray, seek, and turn, then he says, I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will restore their land. How many of you know we need that happening in America right now? Can I get a good amen from this congregation? But it begins with us. And so today I want to lead us in just a prayer time as we get ready for this election coming up. I want you to know we have a responsibility. Our job as Christians is to pray. I've told you I am not a Republican and I'm not a Democrat. I am a kingdom independent. I am on the Lord's side. I'm putting my faith and trust in Jesus' blood. That's it. That's where my faith and trust is. And tomorrow, our job is to pray. The scripture says in the New Testament to pray for those who are in leadership, to pray for them. It doesn't matter if it's your guy or not your guy, your girl or not your girl. As Christians, we're to pray for them so that we could be at peace, so we could go about our mission on the earth, which is to bring heaven down. That's our job. Amen? So I want us to pray today. I want us to lead us in there. And I wrote out last night, I just wrote out every sin I could think of that we're guilty of. Again, I didn't say every sin that the world's guilty of. If my people will humble, if they would pray, seek, and turn from their wicked ways. And I just wrote them down, and I just want to lead us in a prayer of repentance. And I want you to pray with me. I want you to add your voice to my voice by saying, yes, Lord, amen, as I pray. And I just want to lead us in this time of prayer before we go into this election. And I want to do that now. Would you just mind standing to your feet together with me? And we're going to lift up. We're going to pray together today. So, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, we're your people. And we come to you with humility. And we're asking you, Father, to turn this nation around. We need a revival. We need an awakening of your Holy Spirit. We need the outpouring of the Holy Ghost to come upon our land again. And Lord, would you begin right here, Father, in the church? Would you begin not in just the church, but would you begin in this one? Would you begin right now in this very room? Would you forgive us of our sin? Father, we turn our face back to you. Father, would you please forgive us for the sin of abortion? Father, would you forgive us for aborting babies out of the wombs of mothers? Would you forgive us for the injustice that we've allowed on streets in our cities to watch those, Father, who have died? Father, not only, Father, we would love life from the womb all the way to the tomb. That, Father, would you please forgive us? Would you forgive us for our pride? Would you forgive us for our ego? Father, would you forgive us for our selfishness and seeking our self-desires and pleasure? Father, would you forgive us for our complacency? That, Father, would you forgive us for walking by on the other side of the street, not being the Good Samaritan? Would you forgive us for our hatred? Father, would you forgive us for the prejudice that we've held in our heart? We've called it a bias, but Father, would you forgive us for prejudging? Would you forgive us for provoking anger? Father, would you forgive us for posting things on social media just to provoke people? Father, would you forgive us for promoting contention? Forgive us for the greed that's in our heart for power, for money, for pleasure. Would you forgive us for our lying tongues, for our spin, our exaggeration, and our half-truths? Would you forgive us for our hedonism, the loving of pleasure, Father, seeking pleasure before we seek you? Father, would you forgive us for the sin of murder, hating our brother in our heart? Would you forgive us for our violence? Would you forgive us for idolatry, for putting other things before you, putting our trust in anything but you? Would you forgive us for our spiritual pride? Would you forgive us for our judgment that we place on people and being judgmental, our religiosity, our religious spirit? Would you forgive us for unforgiveness, for not releasing forgiveness to those who've harmed us? Would you please forgive us of a critical spirit? Would you forgive us for gossiping and spreading it? Would you forgive us for exploiting the poor? Father, would you forgive us? Would you give us mercy? We don't deserve mercy, Lord, but would you give us mercy, God? Would you call out for mercy? God, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us, God. Give us mercy, Lord. Father, we ask for your mercy and your grace. Would you create in us a clean heart? Would you create in us the right spirit again? Father, would we return back to the joy of our salvation? So, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We're asking. We're humbly asking. We're seeking your face. We turn from our wicked ways. Would you forgive us? Would you heal our land? Would you restore our land? Would you send revival to our land? Father, we ask it in the name of Jesus above every other name, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, come on, would you give God all the praise? Thank him for meeting. Amen. 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 You can be seated this morning, and I'm excited to speak to you today. And as I was saying, COVID-19 this season has been really crazy, and man, he's like, what's next? I want to just kind of give you a little behind the scenes, if I could take you kind of behind the curtain just a little bit, because obviously God's speaking. And I just want you to know, we've been through a lot down here. There's COVID. We're still in the middle of that. We've gone through Laura. Laura showed up. And then we got Delta. Delta came through. And I don't know, we just heard today there's another one. Have y'all heard it? There's another one out in the Gulf, and its name is Zeta. In the earlier service, I said Zeta. Zika. It's somebody. Zeta coming. And we've got another one. Lord, please send that. How do you pray where to send it? We just pray dissipate it. Dissipate. And I don't even know what that means, but it sounds good. Dissipate. That means stop blowing. And so we've got another one. And so behind the scenes, we're going, what is God up to? And I want to just remind you, nothing comes to you that doesn't first pass through the hand of God. So if you're going, God, what you up to? He's up to something. Pastor, you did God cause it? I don't know. I don't know if he caused it, but I do know that he allowed it. Nothing surprises him. Remember, heaven is his throne, but the earth is his footstool. Nothing gets past him or by him. And I know that he's at work in it. He's always at work in it. He's always working. Even when you can't see it, he working. I think we sing that song, don't we? Even when you can't feel it. Yeah. So he's working. He's in the midst of it. He's in the middle of it. He is working. You go, well, then what is he doing? I can tell you what I do know. I can just tell you from my perspective, Pastor Randy's perspective. It is a pruning that is happening. You want to call it a pruning? That'd be John chapter 17. Every branch that does bear fruit, he'll prune it so it can even bear more fruit and lasting fruit. Maybe it's called a shaking. That's another term I've heard or used, is that there is a shaking. That's a whole lot of shaking going on. How many of you know that song? You're old if you know that, right? There's a whole lot of shaking going on. Some others have used, there's a fire. It's like a refining fire that's happening where God puts the match to something. He burns it and he says, what only what's pure will remain. And we're watching it happen in our very eyes. We're watching it happen in America's church. We're watching it happen in our church. We're watching it at this campus. Again, I can tell you what that really means. Before COVID, we might have 2,000 to up to 2,400 on a Sunday. Post or mid-COVID, which we're in now, we could have 900 to 1,000. That's happening all across America. It's happening at every one of our campuses. You're watching, you go, what is it? Is that a pruning? Maybe. Shaking? Yes. Fire? Yeah. It's all happening at one time. By the way, how many of you know somebody that's not here right now, whether it be Corona or COVID or whatever it's called? You go, I don't see them. Pastor, I don't see them. Do me a favor. Help me. Call them. Find out. Because I think there can also be a sifting where the enemy comes in to try to sift someone out. And so you are your brother's keeper, if you were wondering. So if you see somebody that's missing, you call them. I haven't seen you. Where y'all been? Check on them. Let's do this together. Just a few weeks ago, Pastor Jim LaFoon was in. And Pastor Jim LaFoon, how many of y'all know Pastor Jim? He's a prophet of the Lord. He's the overseer. He's Pastor Jacob and Michelle's pastor. And he's the overseer of Our Savior's Church. And I had to spend a couple hours with him. I picked him up at the airport. And we were talking about this very season. And he talked about, he grew up in Southern California where there are earthquakes. And he said, Pastor Eugene, this is an earthquake. It's a shaking. It's a pruning. It's a sifting. It's a fire. But it's much like an earthquake coming through. And he said, here's my word of caution to you. You don't evaluate while you're in the shaking. You don't evaluate while you're in the fire. When the pruning's going on, you don't evaluate. Don't judge something yet. Wait till it's over. He said, and he talked about the earthquakes. And I've been in one in Southern California. I've been in an earthquake. And I was in my bed at night. And I was laying in my bed. I was asleep. And then my bed started shaking. And you could feel it. And I woke up. My first thought was The Exorcist. I thought there was a devil in my bed. How many of y'all remember that old movie? That's the scariest movie I've ever seen in my life, I promise you. I thought, the devil's in my room. And my aunt comes flying. I was at my aunt's house. She flips on the light. She goes, it's an earthquake! Like, what do we do? You know, we ran outside in the middle of the earthquake. Get out of the house. I was glad it was an earthquake. I thought it was the devil. And here's what Pastor Jim said. Don't straighten up the pictures. You got to wait till the shaking's over, because if you try to straighten it up before the shaking's over, you're going to waste your time and your energy. That'd be like us. Let me put it in Louisiana language. You don't go out in the middle of Delta to pick up the sticks. You got to wait till Delta blows through, and then you go evaluate, and then you pick everything up. That's where we're at. We're walking through a shaking. Is it going to be over? I don't know when it's going to be over. I don't know, but I do know it's going to be good on the other side of it, because God is good and he only does good. And you go, he's in the middle of it. He's in the middle of it. Let's just watch what he's doing. He's in the middle of it. You're watching the news. You're watching the election. Boy, how many of you know you go crazy? He's in the middle of it. He's working. He's always working. And he's in the middle of it now. But there is something that I do know, that God is speaking to us. I want you to lean in. There is something that he is talking to his church about, this church about, and he's zeroing in on something. And he's shined his light and is expecting something of us. And it's this word, discipleship. He's talking to us saying, you have to get back and rediscover again what I called you to do, not to have a big church. Big church is not the goal, that you are discipling people, that you are to doing the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and His Holy Spirit. And I want you to say that word with me, say discipleship. Now, I've been preaching about it. Pastor Nick preached about it last week. And I want to zero in just a little bit further to clarify, just so you're hearing, when you hear that Bible word, discipleship, what it really means. Say it with me one more time, discipleship. And I want to, one of the great Bible teachers of today, I would call one of the great Bible speakers of kind of modern times now, is a pastor by the name of John Piper. And I think he gave a pretty good definition of discipleship and what does it mean to really be a disciple. And so I want to read that to you. We'll put it on the board for you, screen for you. It says, people need to become Christians, need to be born again. At the end of today, I'm going to give everybody an opportunity. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I'm going to introduce you to him. You need to be born again. You need to become a Christian. And then it says, and then Christians, you need to become Christians. And then people need to be taught how to think, how to feel, and act as a Christian. That is a disciple. I thought, what a clarifying to go, what does it mean to really be a disciple? It means I'm going to be born again. I'm going to give my life to Jesus. By the way, how many in the room could say, I'm born again. I've already given my life to Jesus. I know I'm going to heaven. I'm saved. Let me see your hand. Just give the Lord a shout. Thank God. It's sealed. You sealed the deal. It's all done. That's not the end. That's the beginning. Let me say it again. That's not the end, that's the beginning. That's the beginning of this journey called I'm going to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. I'm going to give my life to him and I'm going to do it his way. Which means I need to be taught how to think, how to feel, and how to act. That's what it means to be a disciple. So I'm going to give you three thoughts this morning, and I'm going to just take John Piper's and preach a message off of that. And point number one, if you're taking notes, you want to write this down. Think. Number one, think. What does it mean to be a disciple? Number one, I got to start thinking like a Christian. Everybody say think. I'm going to take you to the book of Romans chapter 12, verse number 2, where it says this, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way, read the yellow with me, changing the way you what? Changing the way you think. So if you really want to change, it doesn't begin in action, it actually begins in your mind. You start changing the way you think, then you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing, perfect. Let me give you just an Old Testament example. I know some of you really love the Old Testament. How many of you remember Israel was in Egypt for 400 years? God takes them out. He's taking them to a promised land, but they had to go through the wilderness, which was a 13-day journey, but took them 40 years. You know, what was he doing in those 40 years? Well, they were walking in circles. But what was God doing? He got them out of Egypt. It took him about one day to get them out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of them. You got to change the way you're thinking. And so we're watching this, and he's saying you're going to be transformed by changing the way you think. I want you to know that there is a competition for the space in between your ears. It's always going on. Who's going to have the space between your ears? Now, everybody pause for a second. Can I get on a soapbox just for a moment? I need your permission. I'm going to do it anyway, but go ahead. Give me your permission. Listen to me. There is something I want you to go home and watch. If you have Netflix, how many has Netflix? If you got it, I want you to go watch this. Write this down. The social dilemma. I want you to watch it. How many of you have already seen it? Let me see your hands. All right. I want you to watch it. I want you to see something because I want you to know that there's a battle for what's between your ears. That the enemy wants to have space. He wants to have ground in between your ears. If he's got space, then you've opened up the door. It's like going to bed at night with your door unlocked. That you're giving him space to come in and to give you thoughts. And part of what we're supposed to be doing is changing or transforming the way we think. It means we don't think like the world anymore. We don't think like the culture anymore. And when you get on social media, I'm not going to tell you all of it because I don't want to spoil it. I want you to watch it. I'm going to preach a whole message about it. It's coming. But I want you to get on there. I want you to see how the enemy could be planting seeds and thoughts inside of your head to get space. By the way, social media has not been a blessing to our nation. It's been a curse. I can see the division that it's even causing, not in the world, but I can watch it and see what it's doing even inside the church. Even inside this one. I'm your pastor. I love you. Part of it, what is it? And I love what one guy said. And it's not in, this is free. This is not in there. But one of the guys that's on there said this. He said, if this was a blank piece of paper and he held it up, a white piece of paper. He said, if this was a piece of paper and if this represent all our shared truths, things that we have in common, and we got a lot more in common than we don't. And he said, we love our country. We love Jesus. Can I get an amen? We love our church. We love our pastor. Thank you for that little, I heard that small voice.
Amen.
We love God, we love our church, we love our community, we got all these things in common. He said, but then when you get in social media, it's like taking that piece of paper and putting it into a shredder. If you ever seen a piece of paper go through a shredder, then it begins to go down in all these little strips. And he says, what happens when you get on social media is the artificial intelligence takes you to things that not makes us common, but things that we believe that makes us divided. And so it's learned to give you suggestions of videos and articles to take us further and further and further and further and further apart. You can watch it on the news. Republican, we share truth. You start putting it in, but I'm a Republican, and I'm a Republican, and I'm a Democrat. And then you keep watching it, and then all of a sudden you go all the way, oh my gosh, the president is a racist. And then you go, oh my gosh, the new guy's a Marxist. It keeps taking us what? Does it bring us closer together? No, it takes us further apart. Are y'all tracking with me? The scripture is clear. Quit following the behaviors and the customs of this world. He said, you got to be renewed in your mind to start to think like a believer instead of the culture. I'm trying. So look at me. How do I do that? I found that to change the way I think, I need two things. I need this book. This book changes the way I think. You know, I wash my mind with the word. Brainwashed. By the way, did y'all know when we first started the first 3 or 4 years, we got tagged. We were a cult. We got tagged here in the city. Yeah, that's a cult. They're brainwashing people over there. One of the little girls, one of those single mamas came to me and said, Pastor, is it true? Are we a cult? Are we being brainwashed? I said, I don't know about you, but my brain needs washing. Are we being washed in our brain? Yeah, we're taking this word and we're letting it wash our brain. This word should change the way we think. Is there some things that I read in this word that I don't think? Of course. When I first started reading this word, I thought, well, I don't like that part. How many of you know, just because I didn't believe it didn't change it from being true? So I like to say it this way. I don't stand over this book and read it. I stand under this book and it reads me. And I can say all day long, I get asked questions all the time. Somebody asked me the other day, they asked me questions, these deep theological questions, deep questions. I got pulled aside the other day. Pastor Eugene, I got a Bible question. I just need to know the answer to this. It's been bothering me, and I just need to know. And he said, okay, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for in the book of Revelation or in the book of Daniel or in the book of whatever. And he goes, do all dogs go to heaven? I go, well, yeah, and cats go to hell. Everybody knows that. I'm teasing. I know there's some cat people in the room. No, it's not true. It's not true. I can prove that cats go to heaven too. I can prove it. The Bible says that, Elder Randy, is this true? That the lion will lay down with the lamb. Doesn't it say that? How many know a lion is a big cat? If the big cats are there, surely the little cats are there. Surely, right? That's how I look at it. Here, kitty, kitty. Anyway, so deep theology. How many of you know, if I run against something in the book that changes, that I go, well, I don't know. I get asked questions all the time, Pastor, you, what about homosexuality? What about same-sex marriage? What about this? What about that? What about that? I go, look, and many times I go, I don't get an opinion. I don't get an opinion. Whatever this book says is true. This is true. That does not move. It does. I don't care what the culture says. The culture doesn't matter. The culture's always going to be changing. But there is a rock and a word. He said, this word will not pass away. It will be here today, yesterday, tomorrow, forever. It will never pass away. I'm talking to you. So it's here. And you go, you change the way you think, because if you change the way you think, you'll change the way you feel. I need two things to change the way I think. I need this book, it washes my mind, and then I need brothers in my life. Look at me. Christianity was never intended for us to sit in rows facing forward. Christianity, this is a part of it. It's just a part of Christianity. But Christianity also was meant to be lived out sitting in circles facing one another. That you can have relationship with another brother and another sister to help you think. If you don't think right, you won't feel right. If you don't feel right, you won't act right. Come on, let's get honest. Can we get real? Gonna get real up in here. How many of you have ever had a feeling that got you into trouble? Raise your hand right now in church. You lie, you fry. You like, hey girl, what's up? I got a feeling. And then, and okay, we'll leave it. That's another sermon. The other day, let me tell you about feeling right, thinking right. Because your emotions can lie to you, but your emotions can also be like the red light on the dash of your car. Your feelings can show you that your thinking could be wrong. The other day, I'm driving down the road. I called Elder Randy. Later, Elder Randy, I called Pastor Jacob after I talked to you. You wasn't enough. I called two brothers. I was wrestling with something. I was feeling something that I didn't like. And I called Elder Randy. I said, Randy, can you talk to me just for a second? I'm feeling something. What's going on, Pastor Yu? I feel like I'm a people pleaser. You know what, people pleasers, they don't want to let anybody down, so they say yes to everybody instead of saying no. And I needed to tell somebody no, but I was feeling bad about it, that I was going to let them down. And Elder Randy said something to me. He goes, you know, Pastor Yu, it's what makes you a good pastor, that you don't want to let anybody down. But in this situation, you need to tell them no. You can't. You can't. Be everybody, can't do for everybody. Because every time you say yes, you're saying no to something else. And sometimes you gotta say no to people so they'll learn not to trust in you, but to trust in God. Are y'all with me? And so, how many of you know, once I had those two conversations with Elder Randy, Pastor Jacob, and I had those two conversations, guess what they changed? What I was thinking, which changed what I was feeling, which means I went around and did the right thing in action. Everybody tracking with me this morning? Now, I want to give you a Bible example, just so you'll know that this is it. This is word that we go, okay, I can't do it alone. I'm going to need somebody. I got to have a Bible and I got to have a brother. Of course, if you're a lady here, you got to have a Bible and you got to have a sister, scripture and a sister, S&S, Bible and a brother. I'm a professional. Did you see how I did that? I'm really good. So that I can act right. So I can do the right thing. I know you want to do the right thing. You ever go, I want to do the right thing, but why do I do the wrong thing? And it could, well, because my feelings were wrong. No, it wasn't the feeling. It's because your thinking was wrong. You needed the word to wash so that you knew what to think was right, what to think was wrong. I talked to somebody outside. He goes, Pastor, I'm so glad you said this today. You were speaking to me. He said the other day, I've been on social media. I turned it off. I've been off for 3 months. I said, how you feel? He said, I feel good. He goes, I was watching and people were making me mad. People that I love. How many of you can relate to that? People you love say stupid stuff. And he said, I just got off. Look at me right here. Average American, 2.7 hours a day on social media. Do the math. That's almost 20 hours a week. 80 hours a month, 960 hours a year. That's almost 50 days back you could actually spend with people that are really there that you could love and invest in instead of people that don't really care where you're eating or who you're voting for. Oh, it's coming. Well, let me take you to the Bible. Let me show you how this principle works in Scripture. I'm going to take you to the book. I'm going to take you to Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to take you. This is going to be the birth of the church. Jesus has already died. He was in the grave 3 days. He resurrected and showed himself to the disciples as the resurrected Jesus. Showed himself to over 500 individuals. And he gave them a message. I want you to go to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. I want you to be there when it happens. And he said, gather the disciples, get in an upper room, wait for me there. I'm going to send you the promise of the Holy Spirit. They have no idea what to expect. This has never happened before. So 120 of them gather into an upper room. That'd be the upstairs of a building, two-story building. They get in the upstairs, big hallway. They get up there. They're praying, 120. Jerusalem, everybody from around Jerusalem, from different parts of that country area, different languages, who are all Jews or converted Jews, are coming to Jerusalem for Passover. In other words, just so you get the picture, how many of you have ever been to Mardi Gras? Okay, how many of you have ever been on a float? How many of you have ever fallen off a float? Okay, that's what they're having. They're in that upper room, they're worshiping, they're praying, just a little house of prayer, a little prayer meeting. The Holy Spirit comes upon them, fills them. The presence of Christ fills them, each one of them individually, and they start speaking in tongues. Tongues they've never learned before. They just start in their jubilation, in their celebration, in their worship, things start coming out of their mouth that they've never done before. The people on the streets are hearing them. It gets louder and louder and louder and louder. And people on the streets are hearing in their own language. Remember, people from everywhere, metropolitan, gathering of people that speak different languages. People are hearing them in their native language, worshiping and praising God. They're just blown away. And so that's what's happening. Holy Spirit comes. They start rejoicing, celebrating, praying in this new tongue that they've never learned. And people are hearing it, and they're hearing their own language, the praises of God. And so we're going to pick up the story right there. I'm going to take you to the book of Acts 2, verse 12 and 13. The people downstairs who gathered around, who could hear the praises of God, it says they all stood there dumbfounded and astonished, saying to one another, what is this phenomena? This is crazy. What is happening? Watch what happens. But others poked fun at them and said, say it with me, they're just drunk on new wine. Verse 14, Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd. Peter, one of the disciples, said, "Listen carefully, all of you who you fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about it. These people are not drunk as some of you are thinking." You think they're drunk. They are not drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. It's much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, and by the way, is this the last days? It's our last days, whether it's the last days or not. "In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all people." Praise God. "Sons and daughters, prophesy. Young men, you're going to see visions. Hey, old men in the house, you're going to dream dreams. In those days, I'm going to pour out my spirit, even on my servants. Men, pour it out on you. Women, I'm going to pour it out on you. Like, and they will prophesy." And then he goes on to preach the message. Jesus was here. He lived a sinless life. He was sent to the cross for the sins of the world, yours and mine. And he gave his life. But that wasn't the end of the story. He didn't just die. He raised again back to life. After 3 days, he showed himself to me and the other apostles and to a bunch of other people, and he promised that he would send this Holy Spirit. And what you're witnessing right now is that. This is that. Amen. And watch what happens. And he says in verse 32, "Can't you see it? God has resurrected Jesus, and we've all seen him. Then God exalted him to the right hand upon the throne of highest honor. And the Father gave him the authority to send the promised Holy Spirit, which is being poured out upon us today. This is what you're seeing and hearing. David wasn't the one who ascended into heaven, but the one who prophesied." David. Heidi used this scripture today. "The Lord Jehovah said to my Lord, I honor you by enthroning you beside me until I make your enemies a footstool beneath your feet. Now everyone in Israel," Peter speaking, "can know for certain that Jesus, whom you crucified, is the one God has made both Lord and the Messiah." Remember what they were thinking? They drunk. Now Peter teaches them the truth. No, here's what's really happening. They're not drunk. This is what is happening. Watch verse 37. "And when they heard this, they were..." No, you gotta say it with me. "When they heard this, they were crushed and realized what they had done to Jesus." And they were what?
Deeply moved.
Look at me right here. Remember they thought they were drunk? Peter steps up, speaks the truth to them, changes the way they were thinking. Now they realize what was true. Now they're changed to what they were feeling. They were deeply crushed, deeply moved. Oh my gosh. Now watch the next word. "They said to Peter and the other apostles, what do we need to do?" Think, feel. If you think right, you'll feel right. And if you feel right, you'll do right. Christianity is not about doing right. Christianity is about thinking right. It's about thinking. It's about this topos, this ground that God's trying to get a hold of and the devil's trying to get a hold of. Don't be conformed to this world, its patterns, its behaviors, the way it thinks. Don't be conformed to this. No, get back to the word. I'm gonna need the word, and I'm gonna need a brother. I'm gonna need some brothers in my life. I need Elder Randy in my life. I can call him and go, this is what's going on inside of me. Can you help me? No, you're not thinking right. To give me another perspective, because perspective changes everything. I need the truth. If you'll give me the truth, I can submit to it instead of what I think. Are y'all tracking with me so far? And so let me tell you what happens. They go, hey, so brothers, tell us, what do we need to do? And Peter says, you need to repent. You need to ask God to forgive you. You need to be born again. And then you need to be baptized. And then you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then I'm going to add to it, then you need to be discipled. If you're sitting here today, and if I ask you this question, have you been discipled? And you go, no. You got to be discipled. You got to get with someone that can help you walk through the Word so that the Word can wash your brain so you can think right. And if you think right, you'll feel right. And if you feel right, you'll... All right, this is a good word for you. Are y'all listening? Y'all tracking with me today? If you are, say amen. Am I at the right church? Yeah. Let me tell you what happened. 3,000 people were added in one day. Can you imagine 3,000 people being added in one day to the church? You got to be discipled. Pastor Scott wrote this book. Come help me, Vic. I'm going to close. It's going to take me a minute. Pastor Scott, Dr. Scott from our Midtown campus, who has two doctorates. Pastor Nick said he got more degrees than a thermometer. He's the smartest one on our team. He wrote this little gold book called The Discipleship Book. And Pastor Jacob and our lead team, elders, said, we're going to get back to discipling people. In the next couple of weeks, you're going to hear about our groups that are being launched. Look at me right here. You need to get one of these books. It's just a step. That's your next step. Christianity, being saved is not the end. It's the beginning. Once you get saved, then you go, I need to get baptized. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I need to get into a discipleship relationship to help me grow so I can think right. And if I think right, I'm going to start feeling right. And if I feel right, then I'm going. Are y'all checking with me? Christianity was not to be lived out in rows facing forward, but circles facing one another. Are you tracking with me? Amen. Discipleship. You're getting in a group. I'll ask you, you being discipled? Some of you go, are you discipling somebody? This is the way Jesus intended for the church to grow. He didn't say, go into all the world and build churches. He said, no, go into all the world and make disciples. One day I can see it. Can I prophesy for a second? If we'll really get a hold of this, there'll be one day we'll never have to pray about where to build another church, because there'll be so many disciples being made in that area. We'll know where to have to build a church because we got too many disciples over there. We need to go build a church. That day's coming, and it's going to begin with you. And we're going to start all over again doing exactly what Jesus wanted us to do. Go and make disciples, teaching them how to think, teaching them how to feel, and teaching them how to act. Listen, there's some scriptures that we haven't preached a lot about. Like this, Matthew 10:39. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. We got everybody trying to find their own life, make their own brand, Instagram, Insta-famous. We forgot the truths of God's word about, no, if you want to find your life, you don't find your life by making it. I got to make my brand, working on my brand. He said, no, you lose yourself. You don't, if you want to find it, you lose it. How about this one? Matthew 20:16, last will be first, and the first will be. We talk about being a leader when Jesus would talk about being a servant. If you want to find it, you lose it. Even this, look at the disciples in Luke 9:46-48. Disciples began arguing about which one of them was the greatest. I'm the greatest. No, I'm the greatest disciple. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and he brought a little child to his side. And then he said to them, anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me also welcomes my Father who sent me. Because whoever is the least among you is the greatest among you. We're trying to find ourselves instead of trying to lose ourselves. I'm closing. Just stay with me. I've probably done, 150 weddings in 30 years, 100 weddings. I don't know, a bunch. I like weddings. I like to do weddings. They're always glorious occasions. Y'all know that. I just want you to picture a wedding, right? And I get to be the portion where I stand up there, you know, with the Bible, and then I represent the Father, like the Heavenly Father. That's the job. I'm not the Heavenly Father. Y'all know that, right? But I represent the Heavenly Father. I'm gonna lead this couple into their vows, their covenant, not only to one another, but to God. You know the vows, right? We'll love you, richer, poorer, sickness and hell. I see some of y'all are married. Yeah, yeah. You know, till death do us part. So you can't really part until you die, or one of you dies, or you kill one of the other ones. Don't do that. Right? So you're making this covenant. I represent God. And you know the guy standing over here, he's got on his tux that he rented. Like there was another guy wearing it like a week ago. And he's wearing it now, right? And then he's got to get it back that afternoon because there's another guy going to wear it next weekend for his wedding, right? But it ain't like that with the girl, is it? Oh, no. She been Pinteresting. I don't even know what that is. I just made that up. She got a whole Pinterest page. Do I want it low down here? I want to go backless. I'm gonna go mermaid, whatever. I don't know. I'm making stuff up here. No, I want to go flow. I want to go old school. I want to do. I'm veil, no veil. I don't even know. I don't even know what I'm talking about. You know, they spend bukus of dollars. I mean, he just rented something for $79.99. The shoes aren't even his. They're fake. Those plastic-looking fake shoes. Not her, though. She's been looking at the dresses since she was 14. Saving them, pinning them. Is that what it's called, pinning them? Yeah, pinning them, waiting what's going to look like. Flowers, colors, the invitations, the pictures. I mean, they do pictures of just her. Just her. You plan it. We have a room in this church. In this church, a room called the bride's room. If you get married in this church and you're a girl here and you get married, we got a room just for you. Now, on Sundays, we use it for the nursing mother's room. But anyway, that'll be your future after you get married. And we're gonna do it. And guess what? At the wedding, this is what happens. Me and the groom, we're backstage. And when it's time, Victor plays a little song like this. We don't even get a song. We come out on some unknown song. The groom. He follows me. I mean, we walk out. And everybody in the audience goes, oh, I guess the wedding started. There's the preacher. And the groom. Oh, he looks nice. And then all of a sudden, everything changes, doesn't it? Then all of a sudden, the song breaks out. The people stand. And here she comes, dressed in white, which signifies purity. Some of you were lying on your wedding day. I know that. Some of you are lying. I don't want to name no names. Some of you are lying when you walked in that white dress. I even sat some of your wedding. I saw some of you whisper, she wearing white. I don't know why she wearing white. It's true. And then she comes, we all stand, right? And look, we take pictures. She walks in. She looked beautiful. I have never seen. There have been some ugly women that are beautiful brides. It's true. Quit acting like you ain't know it's true. I'm teasing y'all. Y'all know I'm teasing. And she comes walking down that aisle. We all stand. Oh, look, she looks so beautiful. She looks so beautiful. And she walks up. She's got this flower. He ain't got no flowers. They got little boutonnieres grandma put on him before the wedding. He ain't got no flower. He's up there in a rented suit for $79.99 with a flower that his grandma put on that ain't even real. And she walks in, she got a bouquet, she walk up there, she puts up there, and then she's got attendants. And the flowers to the little girls. We all came. Is it the groom's day or is it the bride's day? Oh, it's the bride's day. Look at me. We got it almost right. We just got it all wrong. It's not about the bride. We are the bride of Christ. We're working on thinking right, feeling right, and acting right. Because we're getting ourselves ready for the groom. We ought to switch it around. She ought to be up here in a $79.99 dress, getting herself ready. So when the groom comes, it ain't about the bride, y'all. It's about the groom. It's about him. It ain't about her. Are y'all tracking with me? Stay with me. Now then you're going to go to the reception. Y'all go to the reception. Here they come. You seen her cake? Her cake about this tall. And she gives the groom a little bit. She like the little dude dressed in black up there. That's him. But that's it. That's all her. And over here at his table, the groom table. You ever seen the groom table? He got a little old chocolate football or something. $29.99 at the Super One. Her cake. It's all about the bride. Look at me. We didn't come here for the bride. We came here for the groom. We're here for the groom. It's about him. It ain't about the bride. So we get in discipleship because we're still washing out the spots and the wrinkles of our thinking so that we can get ourselves ready like the virgins in the Bible with a lamp on, saying, I can't wait until he comes and gets me. I'm getting myself ready. So when the groom decides to show up, I'm here. I'm ready. Are y'all with me? Do you receive this? This is why you need to get in the book. And it's why you need to invite some people into your life that can help you think right. So you go, I may need to get off social media too. You might. Whatever it means to get this thought right, because the enemy's trying to get you in, get the headspace. Whoever got the most up in here usually gets the feeling. And you walk out and you go, I'm going to act, you're acting like a fool. You wonder why you still act like a fool. You think it ain't right. We got to be washed. Our brain needs washing. Are y'all receiving this word? Today when you leave here, you can stop by right here at the Welcome Center. Just walk up and say, give me a book. They're $5. You got to pay for them. You got to. If you don't have the money, we'll give it to you. If you got some extra, throw a 20 down and say, give some away. Just get one. In the next couple weeks, I'll let you know when we're going to start getting into groups. And you get into one. Get somebody to help walk this so we can start thinking right. So we'll start feeling right so that we can be ready for the groom. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed in this room today, I want to help you take the first step. It's not the end, it's the beginning. Maybe you're here today and you've never been born again. You've never surrendered your life to Jesus. You've never started this personal relationship with him. He's here today to begin it with you. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's not a perfect person in this room. We've all done some really stupid things that we're sorry for. And maybe today you heard the truth, and the truth is changing your thinking. And right now you're feeling deeply moved. Maybe you're feeling crushed. Go, you can pay for your sins, or you can let Jesus pay for them. He's already paid for them. All you have to do is accept him, repent. A, admit that you're a sinner. B, believe that Jesus came to be the sin payer, to pay for your penalty and mine. He paid for it on a cross and gave his life for it. And then C, confess him as Lord and Savior. And maybe you're here today and you're ready to be born again. You feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit on your heart. I want to pray for you today. If you'd like to be born again, would you just slip your hand up all over this room and say, Pastor, I'm ready. I need to be born again. Remember me today in this prayer. Would you hold your hand up high right now? Hold it up. Thank you. I see your hands. 6, 7, 8. See your hand. 9. Anybody else? Congregation, I want us to pray with each one of these. I see your hand, Mama. I want us to pray together. Would you say this with me? Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go, and that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin. I repent to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God all the praise for that? Thank you, Jesus.